we're going to lose our big palms. They're getting up into the power wires. And I nearly wept when we had to make the decision. We had the tree trimmer over today, and they supposedly have some expertise in palms. And there's not much we can do. And as far as we, Domon asked him, well, is this about as big as it's going to get? And he says, oh, Lord, no. He said, it's going to go way up there, see. But they do, and it was partly your karma, that see, they do catch on fire. And back there we have Tommy's garage, we have places in the back, and so we've made a decision. And they're going to come down, but we're going to do a service for them this, and I want to put some stick incense from here on in. Each day we should put some there for them. Roshi jumped all over me for this once. I was at the fish pond, and I had developed a real relationship with a catfish, a wild catfish, and people were trying to spear him. You remember that? And throw fishing lines in there. And we had these, I don't know what they were, pampas grass or the papyrus grass, those long things. And they sort of float, but they have all of the heavy roots. And so I was trying to cut those. Roshi'd wanted some of them out, and I was trying to save them so they could float. And I was also trying to cut channels through there so that the big catfish could get down there and hide. And Roshi stood there and watched me for a while, and then he says, ah, Nyogen, you're so attached to the three treasures. And I absolutely am, see. We brought those guys home in my little station wagon. They were little guys, you know, when we brought them in. So anyway, they're going to go. Hopefully we have, with now the third, I guess the three or four calls to my nephew, who's a crackerjack plumber, but in Colorado. We may have the plumbing problems done. And the last one we ran into was essentially, I went to a hardware store, it's B&B, which is old-time hardware, it used to be, and they really didn't sell me quite the right part. And Lance jumped on me right away and said, Unc, you know, I think that you don't have quite the right part. I said, oh, yeah. But when I started to look at it, it wasn't. But right now, it all seems to be holding. And then if that's the case tomorrow morning, are you going to be over Shindo tomorrow, or do you have work? You have work? So Domon and I will start to put up, if you're going to be here, we'll probably start to put up some of the beams and maybe start to close it off a little bit. And that'll get into the fun part. But anyway, let's see, is there anything else? I don't know why I'm stalling. One of the things that I really wanted to do a little bit, it was to play a little bit with some of the masters of the past. And particularly because the Thursday nights were devoted to koan practice, and a lot of people don't particularly care for koans. I loved working koan, and I think it's a tremendous aid. And as Roshi said, in defining what a koan is, see, this is a historical event that occurred in the life of an old master. And it was this old master's realization and manifestation of living Dharma, see, of what living true Dharma is, not what we do with the head. See, that's of no real consequences. As much as when I first saw Roshi in the Doksan room, he said, if you come into this room, he said, never ask me if a goat has Buddha nature or not. He said, if you want to ask those kind of questions, go to the universities and talk to the professors. See. And he said, in this room we will deal with the very essence of life and death. See, and life and death is the issue that we all are continuously facing. And we watch within our own ranks. Each year we watch within our own group the coming and going. And at different levels. And if we truly see what the living Dharma is, see, this impermanence, this transformation, and our palms, see, are no less, see, this great Buddha body than those of us, you know, walking around in these skin bags. And for most of us, the effort that we expend in this day and age is really terribly limited. There is a magnificent aspect to living Dharma that very few people touch on. Cameron gave me a recent translation of Rumi, And is that the most current? And of course, you know, these were these god-drunk Persian poets. See, the great wisdom. And when you hear them sing these love songs, to what? See, we can call it whatever we want so long as we don't limit it by the words. See, but we can call it the great way. See, and for me, that's a magnificent statement. Buddha. See, this is the great Buddha mind. Buddha simply means enlightened. See, and so when we sing of this, we talk about this great enlightened mind. And again, it isn't something away from you. It is what you are. And as we watch the rising and settling within it, it's all of our karmas. See, it's the manifestation. The tree trimmer comes into our backyard, and he's so impressed with the yard. He said, oh, you guys have such a beautiful place here. He actually kind of wanted to stall it. Well, you could get a few years here or there, but the fact is we can't. See, we can't jeopardize other people. But the beauty of the yard, see, and we continuously have to move toward this enlightened life. If you want to know what it means to adorn the body of the Buddha, that's what it means. When he could turn and look at that yard and say, well, this is beautiful. How many of us here walk back there and are still struck by the beauty of it? I think those of us who used to walk out into the broken concrete and asphalt and pieces of glass and nothing was growing, I think we can still appreciate a little bit more. I think particularly like our folks just got back from China, and I'll bet you see it with sort of the new eyes when you come back in. When I'd go to Mexico, I'd always just sort of take a tour because it was so amazing. See, for me, when I'd come and walk back into that yard. See, but it is always in a process of change. It is always in the process of rising up and settling down. And that is nothing other than what we are. To understand it intellectually, we'll miss it. And it will not save you. See, at the time of great need. And boy, we're at a time of great need. The insanity of samsara. But samsara is always insane. Always insane. And we somehow or another, we don't seem to go, samsara never seems to be able to evolve past. See, the most barbaric level that identifies it. I mean, it's just a, I had never, oh, well, I don't want to go there. I don't need that kind of depression today. I wanted to talk a little bit about the great Dawi. Now, you can get a lot of difference. Dai from the Japanese, ta-e. I think that's the wage guile and the pinyin, which Andy uses, I think, is Dawi. Is not how he works at sea. But, Dawei. Wei, wei, wei. And when that's in H-U-I is a way, way. We. Anyway, I'll check with, I'd like to see those characters. Ta-we, ta-we, ta-we. Doesn't really matter. It's, see, he was one of the great masters, and we know he was one of those who spoke supposedly this great split with the great Hongzhe, see, in silent illumination, see, and then the great sudden Zen of the six patriarchs. See, the fact of the matter is sudden and gradual. When you read, and we have in the Platform Sutra, you see that the sixth patriarch doesn't make that distinction himself. If you read the Cultivating the Empty Field, the magnificence of this great Soto master, see, and Dawei, or Yang Wu, his teacher, you could just change the names. And it reads the same when they talk about the very essence. See, one thing and one thing only is this great Buddha mind. And this is what we all are. But now, the effort that it takes, see, the effort it takes to break free from the addiction to the senses. See, this is the crazy part of it. We'll read this, we'll hear this. They'll talk about this skin bag. They'll talk about being trapped in the eyes, the nose, the ears, the mouth, the body. You are trapped in it. You're trapped right there now. And yet, this great enlightened mind isn't. See, the great Linji says, entering, see, continuously entering and returning, see, through the face. What is this? This great mind. It knows no barrier. The parable on the house and fire is when you sit there in that body. See, and the change is always coming. See, it always is rising and settling. And if I'm caught in that, then that's depressing. And that's exactly what samsara is. Samsara is damned depressing. And if you don't see the depression of samsara, if you don't see the insensitivity, see, you are hopelessly lost. Literally, you're trapped in hell. See, but Buddha Dharma, see, is the pathway out of that. And the pathway out of it is right where you sit. What does the old king say as he looks at the house burning? Come out, come out. He's yelling to you, come out. See, trapped. See, you're trapped in that cave. See, these fiery eyes staring out of this dead skull. See, what does he mean? What does he mean? It's right here. It's effortless. Simply move through. Literally, a psychological barrier. That's all it is. The conditioned mind keeping me trapped here, see, in this body. Addiction is tough to beat. I'd like to somehow get to talk to Kyoji about addiction. And it's a funny thing. When we had her article up on the our website, numerous addicts, I don't know how many, contacted her, but they resonated. The difficulty of something as simple as alcoholism, drugs, nicotine, easy things to deal with. But oh, how they make us crawl around in the dirt. Now you're going to try to deal with the addiction to this skin bag. See, and this skin bag is in the process of breaking down now. See, it's like a foundation made of sand. If you try to build a house on that foundation, you know what the outcome is going to be. And each and every one of us in this room by now knows what the outcome is going to be. Without fail. Without fail. See, Dawi was an interesting character. He was precocious. He was gifted. And he had a tremendous calling to the Dharma at a very early age. See, and he set about to find his teacher. And he did find an old teacher. See, but the teacher grew old and got sick and passed away. And before he passed away, Dawi asked him, well, what shall I do? Where will I go to continue? He said, well, there's this character over here called Yang Wu. Seek him out. So Dawi met him. And Yang Wu at that time was staying at Tianning Monastery in the capital of Pian. And on his way there, Dawi, you forgive my pronunciation, Dawi said to himself, I'll make 9 summers the time limit. How many of you have committed? I'll make 9 summers the time limit. But listen to what he... The integrity. He said, if his chan is no different from the other places and he falsely considers himself right, then I'll leave and I'll write that there is no chan. See, now an interesting thing. I've had that thought myself. Now the thing about it is his commitment was so deep and mine was so shallow. When I joined at the ZCLA, first day there, I signed up for a family membership. I went home, jumped in the tub. My wife came in, and she said, well, what have you been? I said, I've signed us up for a Zen center. She said, a Zen center? Are you nuts? Why do we want to be at a Zen center? I couldn't tell her. I so desperately wanted to be there. I said, but look, let's do it this way. We'll go there. We'll try enlightenment for a year or two. Literally, we'll try enlightenment for a year or two and see if we like it. If we don't, we can go do something else. Pushing on November the 13th, I think it is, will be 39 years for me. See? See, however, when he got to see Yang Wu, he was asking for instructions all day long. See, hungry, compelled. See, obsessed, see, continuously questioning the great Yang Wu. Yang Wu brought up Un Lan Seng, East Mountain walks on the water. and had Dawi come to grips with it. Now here was the point I wanted to talk to you about. Dawi offered some 49 replies, but Yang Wu rejected them all. 49 times he went in to see this old master. 49 times he entered the tiger's cave and was turned back. And here you're talking about a spiritual genius, and very easily could have been, you know, almost an intellectual genius on top of it, see. 49 times in one, for one koan. See. One day, Yang Wu had gone up to his seat to teach the assembly, and he cited Uman's words and said, "I am not this way. If someone asks, what is the place where all the Buddhas appear? I just say to them, from the south comes a fragrant wind, producing a slight chill in the recesses of the palace." Hearing this, Dawi emptied out and thought he was enlightened. Now see here, this in a certain sense, did he see something? Of course he saw something. See, this is an initial opening. And often, see, it's accompanied with great joy. See, a wondrous, wondrous feeling, see. But they call the initial opening kensho. But the maturity of the enlightened mind is called satori. See, and in this it takes many, many, many years of refinement. See, and I don't believe, see, that it's theoretically, I talked with Roshi on this once, one koan should take complete care of it. But in truth, it doesn't happen that way. See, I do know that if the initial opening, much as this, see, is sufficient, then koans move rather smoothly. If the opening is not particularly clear, then it can become very difficult. Because each of the old koans, I meant to mention what Roshi was talking about, see, is simply a measurement. It is the story of a state of mind achieved by an old master. And the most amazing part of it is if we apply ourselves in deep practice, in deep samadhi, see, we can replicate, see, that experience. That experience becomes our experience. This is where koans are often missed. People think of them in the context of a historical and a cultural bias. That's not it at all. If you truly see the koan, the koans are living, and they become living expressions of where you are. It doesn't matter whether we talk about a castle, an emperor, or an ox-drawn cart. It doesn't matter if you catch the spirit of it. The koan is easily understood. If you can't, see, achieve that level of clarity, if you can't see that state of being, then it's confusing. Or often, I was reading a translator who was essentially saying that koans are sort of, you know, little puzzles, little riddles. That's not what they're at all. See, Roshi once told me, see, that a koan is the most perfect logic that a human being can use. Much as in the reference I was going to make to the great Sufi poets. See, if you haven't had the experience, if you can't see through their eyes, you might like the brilliance and the usage of their words, but you completely will miss the flavor. And the flavor is the most important part. See, you can appreciate a rose at a distance, and now they have these absolutely beautiful hybrid things, but there's no scent. It isn't a rose. A rose is that most exquisite scent. See, you have to have that. See, and you have to have the scent, see, of the koan, of this Buddha mind. All the koans are talking about is you. Every sutra, the precepts, it's you. Now, what's the problem? It's you freed from your discriminating consciousness. It's you freed from the egocentric mind. See, how do I slip free from this skin bag? See, well, it becomes quite simple. See, if you simply stay in the present moment and you sustain that year after year after year. See, koans are marvelous devices. See, and some of the koans, see, that's the whole point, is to bring the focus of the mind and hold it, see, in this still point. And you stay with it. You stay with it until there is a release. And a release will come if you're consistent. See, and it means also, as the old masters have told us with koans, see, that you practice with your koan throughout the 24 hours of the day. See, to practice throughout the 24 hours of the day means that you're continuously in a state of samadhi. And when they say 24 hours, they mean 24 hours. It means, see, this samadhi. What is samadhi? It means to stay in the present moment. See, it means to not be, see, trapped in the tumbling, turning mind. Now, it doesn't mean that we suppress. This was what was commonly misunderstood as silent illumination. And so somebody at that time must have done that. We would call that deadhead Zen. Roshi would say, deadhead Zen, cut off your head and just sit it beside you. That's not what we practice. The tricky part in this, and the tricky part even with koan, see, is to hold the state of samadhi. For you to be very, very clear, be very alert, we can also call this mirror samadhi. See, hold this, and then begin to not follow the thoughts. And literally, literally, you can allow a gap to develop in the ruminating mind. And what you'll see is that you don't have to follow, see, the concepts, the words, the emotions. And it's an interesting thing. Most of us are so caught in it that we can't believe that that separation can take place. See, now it's an interesting thing. We could go into the, there's a certain sense of artificiality about it, but that's okay. But what you do is you simply watch the movement of the mind. It's a fascinating thing to do. And I would recommend any of you who are deep enough in your practice where you can do this, you do this at night. If you wake up or you have a tough time going to sleep, rather than following and making up daydreams for yourself, fantasy worlds, simply lie there in a state of samadhi, which is non-distracted awareness, and simply observe the movement of your mind. Don't be concerned with whether or not you'll fall asleep. Just simply observe. And I'll tell you, it becomes quite a remarkable practice. But this is what you do 24 hours a day. You don't allow yourself to be pulled into the thoughts. The moment you find yourself pulled into the thoughts, tumbling in your head, see, the great Fa Yen said you burn through it, see, with the samadhi and now. That's the whole point, see, is that you don't have to go someplace else. You don't have to cultivate something else. See, and even the great ones can be tricked, see, and think they have an enlightenment. See, well, is it? Yes, there is. But it has to be cultivated. See, Yamada Roshi said about that. Said actually the initial peek in is relatively easy, matter of a few years. For some people, it's a matter of just a few months. But then, the whole point to Buddha Dharma is the living manifestation. The living man. That means you become a living, walking, breathing, talking Buddha. See, and all you do is sever the past and the future. See, that's all we have to do. You're not fantasizing about things to come. See, and you're not pulling forward things from the past. We've said that over and over and over here again. Leave the past alone. See, if you're bitching and moaning about your mom and dad from when you were little, forget it. You don't even know what the true relationship was. Can you see this? You complain some 7 or 8, 9 or 10, 15 or 16, and here you are 40. You have no idea what that memory, what was actually going on there. But what you have is a memory of a memory of a memory, and however many times you run that, and that's one of the popular things in therapy. See, to run the stuff, run the stuff, run the stuff. And you're playing with your mind. You're not playing with the reality. You're playing an illusion. See, there is only the reality of now. And this is impermanent. This is in constant, constant movement. You should all be able to see that so clearly now. See, you cannot hold on, see, to this moment. The famous koan on the tea cakes, see, says in the Diamond Sutra, past mind can't be grasped, future mind can't be grasped, present mind can't be grasped. With which mind will you eat this tea cake? See, show me your past. You can't. Show me your future. You can't. And by the time I start and finish this sentence, we've already moved downstream. So within that, there is magic. And the magic is to stay awake in the now. So you will say, well, Nyogen, if I'm doing all this, if I'm not up here thinking, how will I take care? I have business to do. See, you miss the business in your deluded mind. You live in a fantasy world, see, with no reality of what this Buddha mind is. See, this is where the excitement is. This, see, is where true reality unfolds. Or as the great Hongzhi said, this is where the pivot turns. See, and the point is to be there at the flash of creation. And that's what each moment of our lives can be. If I stay trapped in the condition aspect, pain and suffering. See, because I play in an illusory world. See, it's a schizophrenic world. I'm fragmented from myself. I'm afraid of this. I can't do that. I want to clutch onto this. See, and the only thing I have is this. Where is the place where all the Buddhas appear? The great Yang Wu said, I just say to them, from the south comes a fragrant wind, producing a slight chill in the recesses of the palace. Hearing this, Dawei emptied out and thought he was enlightened. Said Yang Wu investigated and found that though Dawei had managed to get before and after cut off, so the aspect of motion does not arise. See, what is he talking about? We've just been talking about this. See, if you're here in the eternal now, this is the eternal. If we want to talk about the three bodies of the Buddha, the Dharmakaya. See, and it manifests, see, through all of this, this is its functioning. See, and you are the Nirmanakaya aspect of it. The beauty of it, samsara, is pain and suffering. But when we begin to realize and actualize this, a transformation takes place. Transformation is the point to Buddha Dharma. And with that transformation, see, we move into this most beautiful space. Yongzhi says you frolic in a samadhi of bliss. It's pure and blissful, I think, six patriarchs, pure and blissful and eternal. And folks, this isn't away from you. It is what you are. You don't sit here. Those of us who practice and sit the long retreats, we don't sit here to produce our Buddha nature. See, some of you only need to sit, obviously, a few days a year. There are some of us so deeply schizophrenic, like myself and Domon and Gendo, see, that we need to sit Sashin 5 to 6 months a year. And Ento has to deal with this, so she's wanting to kick it up to where we do 3 years and 3 months. She said, these guys are in trouble, and there's only one way out of it. See, but we sit because we're neurotic. And this is the easiest way to begin to see the split that exists. See, the duality, see, of our lives. And it is that duality. See, what's that duality? It's, I am a subject, and that is an objective world. And that's not it. That is duality. And fragmented personalities are schizophrenic. So I am a schizophrenic when I exist in samsara. See, and only in samsara could you do the kinds of things that we do? See, in the enlightened mind, you cannot do it. See, and that's what you are. That's your true self. See, that's your Buddha nature. Or if we want to call it, we can call it God. Doesn't matter. But don't put the limitations on God. Don't draw him up as some sort of a dumb projection of our silly imagination. See, it's vast. See, so amazing. He investigated and found that he was still trapped. He was settling down in purity and nakedness. He told Dawi, "It is without doubt words and phrases are a great disease, but haven't you seen the saying, hanging from a cliff, let go, and agree to accept the experience. After annihilation, come back to life. I couldn't deceive you." And he said, "You must be aware that this truth exists." See? And we also can experience a fear. And it's an interesting thing here. He is describing, see, the knock on silent illumination. If you stay trapped, see, in this purity, in this empty space, see, then you have to bring it back alive. Dari said, "Just based on today's attainment, I'm already joyous and lively, and I can't understand any more." See, again, what are we in a blissful, wonderful state? See, he's already talking about that. See, but it is a question when we, and again, I don't like to talk about it from this way, but one of the things with my own experience. And it was, for me, kind of a very strange thing, and I think most of you have heard this, see, that when Roshi tested me, then he asked me if I would declare myself. And I was puzzled by that. Because there was still so much, see, that couldn't be answered. And the main part of it is, I couldn't, see, somehow or another, place the suffering. Pain and suffering. I knew a great deal about suffering. I worked in suffering. I came from a family that suffered. And it was easy enough for me, see, to empathize, to look out into samsara. That was my profession. See, I went into the places where most people wouldn't go, to pull little kids, to pull babies, see, out of horrific abuse and neglect. And in some aspects, just pure torture. See? And it hammers you. See, it really hammers you. It does something to you. My workers, I supervised the crisis unit for this is a horrible area at that time to work, see. And you could watch my workers wither under it. We had one of them who came here one day and had one of them came and sat here and I think you've all heard this. Domon met him and talked down, and he was sort of wanting to get away from any kind of religious Buddhism. So I guess he thought probably this was here. And he came and he sat right where Ryoshin is now. And I opened up the talk by giving old-time religion. And we never saw him again, you know. See. But pain and suffering, and see, so I told Roshi at that time, see, this is simply not good enough. And yet, see, I can tell you that I could move rather comfortably with koans, see? But still the refinement, see? And what I have found is that the words that Roshi once said to me when I had expressed to him considerable unhappiness with what I considered my immaturity, which I still feel the same about today, and I told him, "Roshi, I have put in so much time, and look at how inadequate my practice is." And he said, "Nyogen," he said, "the Shakyamuni Buddha is still refining it and will refine it forever. And if we ever reach the place where we are content," see, the living Dharma has ceased to exist and we have slipped back into the dream world. And it isn't pleasant dreams, it's the nightmare world. It is a continuous refinement. And I think only today, as I've pushed on all of these years, am I beginning to look at this pain and suffering in a different way? But the pain and the suffering is still the same. I remember Roshi was talking on, I believe it was talking on the way and flowers fall, and the way Yasutani responded to what you can pull together a koan there. And it says, the flowers fall with our yearning. See, our palm trees go. And Yasutani clutched at his heart. See, and he rocked. And he wept. He said, oh, 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 oh. See, that's how we work with that. But it doesn't become this highly subjective, see, kind of maudlin self-indulgence. See, that is hurtful for ourselves. See, that keeps us trapped. It reinforces, I think, in terms of the Buddha, trying to stop the opposing forces and sitting on the sideline and weeping. What about the Kuan Yin? The cries forever for the pain and suffering. See, in the version here, in the form we have here, see, we'll go down into hell for everything, anything that's in pain, goes down for the animals. See, all things that suffer. That kind of compassion, this is what our basic nature is. And that compassion is selfless. It means it does not have a self-agenda. The moment your self-agenda comes into play, is imposed on this, it will automatically spin it. And it will be somewhat hurtful. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that we simply wait until we're perfected, because we don't. Roshi would say to me over and over, act as if enlightenment. Act as if enlightened. And what does it mean to be enlightened? It doesn't mean to be a swaggering bully know-it-all, a pompous person who stands wanting people to worship you. Not at all. It means so ordinary that you become like the least grain of sand on the beach. If you see work that needs to be done, you do the work. And then you just simply disappear with the vapors. See, there is no question of standing to get applause, recognition, or reward. You simply do because there was a need and you could deliver to that need. See? And if that kind of service isn't there with you yet, you still have to act as if. That's what Buddha said in the Diamond Sutra. See? No perception of a subject and no perception of an object. And it doesn't mean that you go brain dead. You don't sit, see, in a silent, still, pure place. See, that can become the pitch black poison cave of hell, as Hakuin said. See, Buddha said, you perform meritorious deeds and you do them as selflessly as you possibly can. Constantly polishing, see, has to go beyond. Whenever Dawei entered Yanwu's room for private instruction, Yanwu brought up the same saying every time. Having words or wordlessness, both are like clinging vines on the tree. Questioning him with this, Yanwu would immediately say, wrong, wrong. That's not it. See. Immediately, the moment Dawei started to speak, wrong, wrong, that's not it. I remember with Roshi, I thought I always had Ryoshin might have had equaled it at one point, but I came in on one point to Doksan room, and I didn't even finish my bow. I was working on Muji. My head, I went down here, and he was ringing the bell. Ding, 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 and out I went. You can't get much briefer than that. See, I tend to get too wordy. I sit with you guys and talk. I got to break those bad habits. Although Yanwu said, in my house, we don't begrudge words. See, these old masters were so exquisite. They were so magnificent. Dawe said, "This truth is like a dog looking at a pan of hot oil, wanting to taste it but unable to, wanting to give it up but unable to." Yang Wu said, "You've described it very well. This is the unbreakable trap, the thicket of thorns." See, this is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If you haven't read any of Hakku and Zenji, you'll get the symbolism here. See, the images are quite wonderful. One day, Dawe said, "I hear that when you were at Wuzhu's, you ask about this saying, and I wondered what Wuzhu said." Yang Wu laughed but did not answer. Dawe said, "At the time, I goofed this up. I didn't get what the saying was. Anyway, Dawe said, "At the time, you must have asked in front of the assembly. So what's stopping you now from saying it?" Yang Wu said, "I ask the meaning of having words or wordlessness. Both are like clinging vines on the tree." Wuzhu said, "Describe it, and it can't be described completely. Depict it, and it can't be depicted accurately." I also ask, "How is it when the trees fall, when the tree falls and the vines wither?" Wuzhu said, "It comes along with it." At these words, Dawe was released, saying, "I understand." So then Yang Wu brought up several particularly difficult cases in order to question him. And Dawe replied to them effortlessly, without getting stuck. Yang Wu said, "At last, I know. At last, you know. I haven't been deceiving you." Boy, I really would like to look at this thing where I took that, some strange words. After this, Yang Wu accepted him as his heir to the true school of Lin Qi. Afterwards, one day, as they were going to their private quarters, Yang Wu said, "If there were a Chan man like me, how would you deal with him?" Dawe said, "What an unexpected good fortune, if there were." See? As Tsung Po said, "Having been an executioner all of my life, when I meet a fat fellow, I slice." Yang Wu laughed loudly and said, "Rather it is you who should enter the room with me and be my teacher. You've pinned me to the wall." Now, I bring this story up first. Let's kind of meet a fat fellow, I slice. See, cut, cut, cut. See, by tradition in Jan, see, those who surpass the teacher is considered really a worthy heir. Roshi told me at the time with my transmission, he said, "Nyogen," he said, "you can transmit to somebody who is equal in clarity, but," he said, "the Dharma goes into deterioration." He said, "You look for the student who can transcend the teacher." See, and in a certain way, see, people say, "Well, gee, what kind of a problem with that?" The fact of the matter is, a tremendous sense of humility. I was trying to think. It was the great Hakuin Zenji, who his real teacher. He was who he considered was his real teacher. He didn't have a great length of time with him, and the old teacher passed away. And Hakuin said it was only years later, you know, when he was like in his 40s, that he really began to appreciate what the teacher was talking about. And I tell you the truth. See, this is my experience with Maizumi Roshi. See, so many things that he said, he would often talk about broadcasting seeds. And when the karmic time is ripe, see, they come into fruition. And so many of his words now, see, I just barely appreciating the depth, the profound nature of his vision. See, it's a stunning kind of thing. See, that if you begin to see what this living form is, if we actually begin, if you're caught in the shadow of the karmic world, so you won't see the teacher. I don't know how many people saw Roshi. But certainly when we look at what some of it has turned into, they never, as the old Zen master said, "Have you ever met him in the room?" What room? If you're talking about a 7x8, 10x10 You don't know that room. Where is that room? This katsu at Mountain Center on one occasion, Roshi, we're in the morning, early morning sitting, see, had a full zendo out there. He said, Nyogen, and he turned it and he says, those people out there don't even know this space exists. See, this has the eye. See, and I will tell you at the time, I was clean shaven, as I always have stayed, but the hair on the back of my neck stood up. See, it was amazing. See, what is this room? See, this is where you see through the eyes of the old masters. See, this is where you walk in the footsteps of the Buddha. This is the place of release. And this is the place where we can listen to the cries and respond. And service, see, is the only thing that's worthwhile. In the year 1163, a falling star fell to the west of the temple with a terrifying flash. And Dawi soon became slightly ill. On the ninth day of the eighth month, his disciples inquired about his health. Dawi exerted himself and he said in a loud voice, tomorrow I'm setting off on a journey. The next day, at the fifth hour, he personally wrote his testimonial and then wrote a farewell letter to his friend Layman Zayan. And at the request of his monks, he then composed a verse in large brushstrokes. Birth is just so. Death is just so. So as for composing a verse, what does it matter? Dawi then threw down the brush and passed away in a composed manner. The next morning, a large snake appeared, coiled next to the housing of the Dragon King well. It was colored white at the middle and head, as though in mourning. And this was a manifestation of the Dragon King. See, these old masters, it's quite an amazing thing. See, I don't know how people read and they look into these things, but this material world, see, we even know from the perspective of science, see, that this is simply the movement, see, the movement, see, of energy. It's not fixed. See, who knows how it can transform and change in the most amazing ways. See, for me, I take these stories, in a certain sense, I take them literally. See, because I think, in fact, there are these great momentous moments right here, right now. And it is always in the here and the now and the great transformation that takes place. And you can begin to see for yourself how that transformation is. See, if somebody tells you, see, that you have experienced a great loss, someone that you've loved has passed away. Something horrible has happened in your life. And do you know what this room will look like? The light will become dimmer. It will become grieving, sadness, oppressive. This room. See, somebody leans forward and tells you that you've won the lottery. Do you know the elation, the joy, the brightness? What an amazing, great, and wondrous place. What's the only thing that's changed? Your mind, your head. If you think that we can't impact the material world, see, go drink out of one of the streams running out of the Sierra right now and make sure you carry some antibiotics. We could check it out with Kyoji. See, but there was a time when you could do that. See, you look at the air, the diseases, see, you look at the insanity of the Middle East. You look at all of the craziness, and for yourself, you have to ask yourself, is that a world, see, where I can find the kind of security, the kind of stability, the freedom, see? You can't It's an ephemeral world. It's a house on fire. But the great Buddha Dharma has shown us a way out. And look at the dignity of these old masters. If we all could walk with such dignity. And this is a guy, they don't talk much about, but was exiled twice because of political reasons. I've noticed some of them don't even talk about it, but I forget where it was, whether it even was he. But he was very critical of the times and the political corruption. And he sort of sided with the wrong factions, but he spoke out several times and was exiled. See? And so they were at the time, remember, China looked not terribly dissimilar to what we're looking at here. It's always greed and anger. There's always war. See? And that's what samsara is. So if you stop and think, well, gee, I'm going to work in samsara and bring about the great changes. Well, you have to know how you're going to work in samsara. If you're just going out and you're in your delusional state and you're experiencing the world as separate from yourself, see, wherever you walk, you carry your universe. And that means that if you're experiencing it separate from yourself, there will be no transformation. It will be a nightmare place. You have to forget the self. You have to drop the self. Then a transformation takes place. If I could no longer experience this mandala around me as separate from myself. See, and it's just like peeling a grape away, see, and then you're here. See, then you experience your mandala in a different way. See, and we don't, it isn't a Pollyanna kind of thing. See, flowers fall in this at this level, see, with our yearning. See, and weeds grow in our aversion. See, but it can become a beautiful, beautiful thing. See, and like the old man said, because it's thus, what's all of the problem? That's how it is. See, you can either experience it, see, from a delusional, nightmarish state, or as a wondrous, magical world of enlightenment. And it's what you are. Okay.